You were created with a purpose. And a big part of that purpose is to love God. To have a relationship with the living God. To have a relationship where your heart and His heart become one. God is looking for us to enter into this place that He's made so available for us. He's looking for us to interface with Him and acknowledge the love that He has. Because as we acknowledge that love, then there's an inroad that He has to now begin to release the blessing in your life. There's an inroad that He has to now begin to change through you the life of someone else. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That word good there can also be translated as benevolent, profitable, useful. And it makes it look a lot different when we begin to understand that. Because see, no matter what your call in the body of Christ, not everybody's called to a pulpit, but everybody's called to a ministry. No matter what your call, here, right here, He's telling you, He created you for those works. He created you for that ministry. He created you that you could be the one to release something, and He already has declared what it's going to be. He's already prepared the path for you. He gave you the place to begin to minister from because He's already declared the path. He said the works that we should walk in them, it's His desire. When we talked about the other day in Ephesians 1:18, where we would come to know the hope of His calling. That we would know the hope of His calling. That we would know the desire that's in His heart for us. That we would know that hope that He has. It's very alive, an anticipation of who we are. An anticipation for what it is that you will become. This is a holy invitation that He's extended. The hope of His calling. It's His invitation to you. He releases a holy invitation. Out of that we can begin to know Christ in us. As we begin to understand Christ in us, as we understand this Christ in us, then we begin to understand the power and authority He's given to us to walk in. The more I'm understanding about what Christ represents, and the more I'm understanding that He truly is in me, then I'm understanding the power and authority that's available. Because see, it's not just that we're a channel of God. We step into the authority of God to release. So that when we stand there in front of someone who's sick, it's not just us, but it's actually the authority of God that's standing in front of them. When we stand in front of a mountain, it's not just us, but it's God who's standing in front of that mountain. Because what is in us is Christ. As we understand, it is Jesus Christ Himself, the authority that He has, all the authority in heaven and earth that was given into Him, all the fullness that He has received from the Father. That's that fullness that stands with you. As we understand the magnitude of it, and it sounds simple, but yet I don't know that I've been able to master it yet, because until I do, until everything that happened for Jesus happens for us, we haven't fully mastered it. It is possible. It's even what His desire is. It's the hope within His calling, that we would understand who we are in God. That we would understand who we are in Christ, because Christ came and ministers in us and through us. The first part, like Nekti was saying, is for us to understand the love. Because we can't come into agreement with Him until we understand that we are loved and accepted. Because in our love and acceptance is the opportunity for us to embrace what is said. In our known natural thinking, we can sometimes overlook what someone has said toward us or for us. If we don't understand that we're loved, someone can express love to us, and we won't receive it. we protect ourselves from engaging that. So understanding that we are loved is the first key. When we begin to understand the love of God, we begin to understand the grace of God, it begins to change our identity. Like we discussed Thursday night, there's an identity that we have. There's an identity that we were born with. You're the son of your father and your mother. You're born into an identity that has nothing really to do with what's inside you, but it has to do with your history. But that identity doesn't have to describe you. If there's something good in it, grab a hold of it. But if there's something bad in it, you don't have to keep it. The identity that we have in Christ starts with understanding this love. Then we can embrace the grace that He has given to us to fulfill this call, to begin to speak out and act out and walk out the destiny that He spoke of in Ephesians 2:10. As we begin to see the newness of our identity, the newness of His understanding and His approach to us, that there's something different that we can do. That we're not stuck just being the same old way. That there actually is the opportunity for us to walk out of our fears, our rejections, our hurts. And that we don't have to continually live in that place. I'm amazed at how many of us, we have a thought in the back of our mind that I'm just going to be this way. I've worked with several addicts, and one of the things that has kept them in the place is believing that they could not change. When they began to understand that they didn't have to always be that way, it gave them the ability to be able to step out of it. It's not necessary for us to stay in our addiction. It's not necessary for us to stay in the history of who we've been. There is a hope and there's a strength to step beyond those things. Whoever we've been, we can step beyond those things. We do so by embracing the love that God has. Romans 8:14 says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. When we begin to embrace life by the Spirit, now how do you embrace life by the Spirit? First, you give an invitation to God to bring His Spirit into your life. As you give an invitation, then you begin to surrender to this process, because most of the times, it is a process. And then as you surrender to the process, you begin to heed the instructions, even when they're small. You never know how that begins to sharpen your hearing of the voice of the Lord as you begin to respond to even the small things. I was reading an account in John G. Lake's book, and he was driving down the road, and the Lord said, pull over into the left side of the road and stop. And he's thinking, that's against the law. But the Lord wouldn't leave him alone about it. So he pulled over into the left side of the road, off on the shoulder as far down as he could get, and stopped. He said within a few seconds, a truck came around the corner, was in his lane, and it was in the wrong side of the road. And had he stayed where he's supposed to be, he would have been wiped out. And it finally went, and as it got into a rough patch a little further down, it was able to straighten up and get on down the road. But had he not pulled over? Someone else that I knew, I don't remember now at the moment who it was starting to go underneath an overpass. And he heard the word, stop! So he applies the brake on. And as he applies the brake on, someone ran the red light right there. As we begin to allow the voice of the Lord to give us instruction, as we heed the instruction, there's a sharpening and a quickening of the life within us. There's a sharpening and a quickening, and out of that quickening, that He can begin to not only keep us in safety, but also lead us and guide us. Each of you has received, as you receive of God, you receive of this gift. You received of the ability to have the voice inside you. You may hear it differently, but the voice of God is active and alive within you because He's active and alive. And it's in the acknowledging of this that we begin to find freedom. It's in the acknowledging of this that we begin to find out who we truly are. And in acknowledging of this is that we begin to find out where we're actually headed, what we're actually to do. It doesn't matter whether you're in a pulpit ministry. You're in a ministry. And then when you walk in the store, you're in a ministry, Steve. When you walk on the job site, you're in a ministry. Everywhere that we go, there's a ministry that happens. Because, see, your life is being read by someone. Your life is touching and affecting someone. And as your life touches and affects someone, they have the opportunity to make a decision for themselves. Do they want to know this Jesus? Do they want to be forever touched and accepted? They get the opportunity to see that and to know that. Hallelujah. Thank you for going with us today and doing something a little different. I want to see God's touching and changing our lives in ways that we can't even anticipate yet. The power of the Spirit is available to us. It's available to us even in areas and in dimensions that we've not yet touched. But I can see that in the men and women of the past have. I want to find that place for us, for each of us. I want to make the life of Christ be something that's so compelling that no one would ever have a reason to not embrace it. The answer to the questions within society is not in trying to do a bunch of good works. The answer is in presenting Christ as He truly is. Because if we could present Christ as He truly is, all the other answers that people are searching for will already be found. So sometimes we have to journey a little bit and do something a little bit different. That's what today was about, learning to do something a little bit different. Hallelujah. Amen.